I do believe that you're going to see some very forward thinking, outside of the box trade deals that are going to be proposed. I think you're going to see different avenues of engagement that are non-orthodox.
Wow. Well, that's quite a nice introduction. He's talking about the new US ambassador to South Africa who arrives here in the near future. His name is Brent Bozell. And that in camera was Matt Chauncey. Matt Chauncey is an American. He's worked on the African continent for many years. He has spent 5 years living in South Africa. Two of his children were born in South Africa. And he has close connections into Washington. And knows a heck of a lot of what's going on in the Trump administration. Well, I got to talk to him today and asked him, straight up, how important is the appointment of a US ambassador? Often in America, they give those who donate a lot of money to particular political campaigns these wonderful ambassadorships, or perhaps it's a nice job in retirement. Not so this time around, as we'll find out later in this conversation as we take a deep dive into Brent Bozell.
You see the results in your own country when you don't have an ambassador in the United States, and the lack of that diplomatic contribution, and you're sending a lot of different mixed signals, and so you end up having all these independent delegations that are moving into this space to try to make up for the lack of having a full-time diplomatic presence, or an effective one at that. And so on the flip side, when the Americans send their ambassador finally, and it's not because we've been held up by anything in South Africa, it's purely a part of the confirmation procedure in the United States that's generally pretty slow, particularly in a very confrontational environment that we have right now in DC. You're going to see, I think, with this new ambassadorship, an acceleration of what I hope to be very positive developments in U.S.-South African relations.
That theme of optimism runs through the whole conversation, as you will hear as we get deeper into it. But he was referencing Ebrahim Rasool, South Africa's ambassador in Washington. The feedback we've got is he just couldn't get any meetings. Nobody was prepared to see him. He'd already been cast in a particular light before he got there. And with the Trump guys in power now, well, unless you are palatable to the MAGA team, I don't think that you're going to make much headway. We've seen other countries do very well in their interaction and engagement, because they're playing the ball as they see it. We in South Africa, too often, we play the ball as we want to see it. But so be it. On top of that, we have a Sibisi Jonas special envoy who, just to make things more complicated, is the chairman also of MTN. I mean, who thought that one up? Here we have MTN is fighting with America. It's in the American courts. They say that MTN facilitated the Iranians killing American citizens. Oi, that's not the kind of guy. And I think Sibisi Jonas is a great person. He's a great South African. He did wonderful things for our country. But hey, send him off as ambassador to the US at this tricky stage in our lives. Not really. The right thing. But let's think about Trump now. We're going to the other side. What's his strategy for South Africa? Does he really care?
President Trump understands, I think, this new age very well. He's a very media savvy president, and he understands that we're in a new kind of Cold War, and it's an information war. And so when he's dealing with difficult countries, in the case of our diplomacy, he would like ambassadors, he would like representatives who understand the nature of this warfare. And in the case of South Africa, which is a very special case to him personally, President Trump has selected someone, I believe, who understands this battlefield very well. He understands the weapons used in this war, and he knows how to deal with it and respond to it.
Battles, weapons. I thought this was diplomacy. Well, seems like we're in a whole new ball game now. So who is this Brent Leo Bozell III, an unusual name for us in South Africa. We don't normally call ourselves first, second, thirds, or anything more than that. But he comes from a distinguished family in the United States. He built a heck of a business monitoring media operations. And last I looked, he was getting something like 500 million people visiting his website. That's seriously large in anybody's language. We've seen it all on Wikipedia, but Matt knows him, and he gave us this insight.
I think he wanted someone that he could trust. I think he wanted someone who understands the communication war that is the reality today. I think he wanted someone who was a blank slate, who was willing to hear both sides and treat everything fresh, just like Trump is doing in other countries with trade deals, and someone that he can count on to be loyal and to do a good job. And he has, in Brent Bozell, he has all of that. He has someone who's built a stellar reputation, a terrific organization. He's very effective. He's spoken of very highly on Capitol Hill. He has a great family that supports him. I think he's at that time of his life where he could really make a difference. And I think he's very capable and ready for it. And I just hope he gets to your country as soon as possible, because I do believe that it's going to start moving the needle in the right direction. And I'm very optimistic about it personally.
Robertson, a small town in the middle of nowhere where a wine farmer claims to have sold a Volkswagen up to eBay cars.
The farmer.
What car did you really sell them?
A VW.
Right here in Robertson.
Small town, but we know about We Buy Cars.
Yeah, but what's a farmer doing with a VW up?
It was just a runaround.
Cool cover story. And I see you traded it in for this, like a double cab Renault. Well, were they all out of Rangers?
We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
Well, what we have learned from Donald Trump so far is he's a deal maker and he is innovative. He'll do things very differently. He'll disrupt. He'll perhaps come in here and invest. Also, he might only take stuff from South Africa if he can give stuff back. He has inherited, though, quite a organization. There are 600 American companies based in South Africa doing great business, one presumes, otherwise they wouldn't be here. And there's a geopolitical war going on, without putting too fine a point on it, between the West, America leading that charge on the one side, and Russia, China, members of BRICS along with South Africa on the other. It's really, really, really complicated. But, from the local angle, we deal with what we deal with, and what is it going to be like to have Brent Bozell on the other side of the table as the ambassador or the man in Pretoria for Donald Trump?
He has no experience in South Africa, so he's not coming in with any type of real confirmation bias, if you will. So he's going to be someone who listens to both sides. He's going to be very fair. I see him as a gentleman of the old school in the best possible sense. He's very loyal. He's a good friend to the president. I think that's why the president primarily chose him, because he knows men of his generation with his reputation going back many decades in Washington, a very good reputation. He's someone that the president can trust. He knows that he will be a working ambassador. This is not a billionaire donor who gets to pick his assignment overseas. This is someone who is a movement conservative, someone who's been in the trenches pretty much his whole life, and understands this, how the game is played, so to speak, but has kept his character, has kept his reputation, and has been known as someone who's very trustworthy. And that is exactly why the president chose Brent Bozell for this role.
It's a tough job, though, Matt. He's coming into a little bit of a lion's den, given that there are, it's almost like he would be able to rate better, perhaps, with someone like Jacob Zuma, who's got all his loyalists around him. He thinks the same way. He's a little bit older. Whereas the ANC is a bit of a snake pit at the moment. We're seeing that in played out in public. How do you think he's going to handle this kind of challenge that is going to be before him?
Well, obviously, that remains to be seen. We'll have to wait and see. But based on what I, in my conversations with him and his desire for South Africa, I think some of it came out in his hearing. If you watch and what, if you read his statement and what he said, he would really like to focus on things that can bring people together, which is the economy. And that is something that is of great concern to South Africa. You have a very high unemployment rate. You have a very low growth rate. You have people are getting poorer every year in the country because your population is growing faster than your GDP. And you the infrastructure is breaking down. And so there is a great need for foreign investment, for internal investment and growth. And I think that let me just put it this way. In one of my last conversations with him, Brent Bozell told me that South Africa, you know, has experienced political freedom when now everyone can vote and everyone's treated equally. It's had religious freedom where you have the right to worship as you choose. But where it's struggling right now is in economic freedom. And those are the areas that you and your channel dwell on a lot. The expropriation without compensation, the government strangulation on businesses, the race-based hiring quotas, the corruption in tenders, the wasted money, the scandals. Those are things that are really holding the country back. And so one of the things that Brent Bozell said in his hearing is that he would like to see increased American investment into the country, but investment that's different from the kind that you see from the East, which treats South Africa is just big resource dump that they can come and just grab and take and pull away. Whereas America would like to invest within South Africa so that, for instance, he mentioned this in his hearing, that we can help South Africa, our companies can help South African companies with their refinement capacity so that you can refine the minerals that you have in your country and then sell them yourself instead of just shipping out the raw materials, having them refined elsewhere and not getting the full benefit of that. And so that is a kind of partnership that is a win-win, not just for America, but for South Africa, because you're developing your domestic capacity of production. And that's something that's going to drive up your job numbers and keep the money that you have in the country instead of leaving. And that's what he told me was going to be his focus. So that's good news, because that means he's going to come into the situation with a government of national unity, and he's going to want to be able to find common ground.
Well, the full interview, or what we call the director's cut, is available on biznews.com/briefing. That's it from us for today. Until tomorrow, cheerio.